Welcome to the Knees Over Toes podcast. Today we're going into exactly what dense strength is and how it fits into the context of the other ATG programs, including what program am I on, what am I doing next, where does dense strength fit into all this. So let's just dive into exactly what it is. Dense strength by nature means we're referring to doing 10 sets of something in 10 minutes. Now, if that's a single leg movement, that's 10 sets per leg in 20 minutes. So minute one, you do the right leg, minute two, you do the left leg, and so on. That's what dense strength refers to. So we just made a knee ability version of dense strength. And I went to the guys who are popularizing dense strength and having a ton of success with it. And that's Keegan Smith and Lucas Aaron of the Real Movement group. So I went to these guys and said, look, let's get together, the three of us, and let's make a really amazing dense strength version for knee ability. So this concept of dense strength, I think you could apply to make a 12-week transformation to any part of your body. We're trying to do it for the lower body. And in addition to that, one reason I went to Keegan and Lucas, honestly, is because Keegan's more of an upper body expert than I am, and Lucas is more of a flexibility expert than I am. So in addition to the 12-week lower body transformation, that's what knee ability dense strength is for, is like a tangible, you can feel it, see it, just the best lower body transformation I've ever made, but still getting the correct upper body work and core work and flexibility work so that you're making well-rounded gains and you're not missing out on anything in your body. So like for myself, I've been skipping upper body for a couple of years. So even though it is a minimalistic approach to upper body, I'm actually already seeing gains in 1 week just because I'm actually doing really quality, intense upper body work. It's just short, so the volume is higher on the legs. So theoretically, could you do dense strength on your entire body? Sure, but you'd be doing so much volume that you might, most people wouldn't be able to recover from it. So we're really channeling as much perfect quality volume as we can into our lower body. Now, when it comes to the context of this, Knee Ability Zero is our most used program, largely because it takes no equipment. You don't add weights or anything. It's just body weight. So what Knee Ability Zero is doing is it's laying a foundation. Now, I used to have people progress from zero to standard. Standards is now adding weights with measurable accuracy for your whole body, ankles, knees, hips, shoulders, 22 different exercises that are spaced and scheduled different ways. It's not a fancy program. The goal is to reach these 22 standards. So it has like a 2-week rotating schedule that you're repeating these exercises and trying to get to the standards. So that used to be how I did it, from zero to standards. I actually see dense strength in between the two. And the reason is because there's something in weightlifting that is called accumulation and intensification, meaning, okay, you do a period of training where you're accumulating volume, meaning a lot of quantity of reps and training. You're really building a foundation, growing muscle. Then you're tapping into that and getting as strong, like peaking yourself. So that's intensification, you know, how intense it is in terms of the, you know, how much weight you're lifting, not necessarily for how many times you're lifting it. So what this does, it creates a natural system where Knee Ability Zero is just pure foundation work to get ready, to prep yourself. It's like prep work. Then dense strength really is like an accumulation for your legs. And then now you can progress to standards and your strength levels will go through the roof. So by really laying that foundation with dense strength, you're setting yourself up. So I'm doing the exact 12 weeks of dense strength, which at all 12 weeks, the goal is to get stronger all 12 weeks. So there's 12 levels of loading. If even for me, if I can survive and complete all 12 levels, I mean, I'll be shocked because it goes up by week 12. If you actually kept going to the next level, it's a really safe way of doing it because you're having to dominate a weight for 10 sets. So let's say you couldn't get it for all 10 sets. Well, you wouldn't move on to the next step, but that's different than peaking to a weight and forcing yourself to go beyond. So that's really why I love dense strength, is because it gives you a safe route to jack up your legs without having to stress so much about the weights. Because if you just get through the volume, you're gonna make incredible gains. Now, within that, like I said, there's 12 levels of weight progression within dense strength. So anyone should start even the most advanced guy should start from week one. Because even for the most advanced guy, you're often so overtrained with heavy weight that starting back over can be really good for your body and for your joints. So it's exactly what I'm doing. I just finished week one. I'm about to start week two. Has 12 weeks. I'm gonna try to go up 12 weeks, but I'm gonna follow it. I have to dominate pain-free all 10 sets in order to be able to go to the next level. And you can go right onto the site, go to the Dense Strength program, you can enter your body weight, and the calculator will spit out your exact 12 progression. So theoretically, you could spend multiple weeks on a level. Someone could spend a year doing Dense Strength and completely change the rest of your life. If you get to the 12-week targets, so again, you could spend longer than 12 weeks to get there. If you get to the end of these 12 targets, you're in the upper 1% of the 1% in terms of bulletproof knees and putting rockets in your legs. Even your upper body, your core, your flexibility are actually gonna be in the upper 1%. But that's kind of how I'd say it. If you can finish the 12-week targets, your upper body, core, and flexibility will be in the upper 1%. Your lower body will be in the upper 1% of the 1%. So I'm just trying to really give you a feel for what exactly Dense Strength is. So it's prioritizing the lower body, using strategic upper body core and flexibility while without wasting a ton of your time, because you really want your body concentrating its energy on recovering your lower body from these sessions. These sessions take place Monday, Wednesday, Friday as your main Dense Strength sessions. And then Tuesday, Thursday is your upper body and mobility sessions. So I was mentioning how Zero sets you up, but now Dense Strength really lays this accumulation foundation of all this volume. So when I finish the 12 weeks of Dense Strength, I'm personally going right onto the Standards program, where now it's more of a peaking style. Now it's still this total bulletproofing style. The Standards philosophy, this is how I made my gains. This is how I became knees over toes guy and got over a 40-inch vertical, was by thinking in terms of my training without any bias to previous methods and trying to get world-class strength in the right areas. But it is more of a peaking style, and that's why Dense Strength now, even for someone like me, it's going to allow me to lay a new foundation. It's actually going to like grow muscle and build more of a base of actual muscle tissue to work with to then tap into on the Standards program. So it's not like the Standards program jacked up my muscle mass. The Standards program just completely reshaped my muscle mass and reshaped my pound for pound strength levels. So every program in this system, you're gonna get mixtures of qualities. Yeah, you can grow muscle on Zero, you can grow muscle on Dense Strength, you can grow muscle on Standards, you can get stronger on all three, you can jump higher on all three, but they have slightly different purposes. Zero, without question, is just your best preparatory program. Prep, prep, prep. And Zero really rebuilds you from the ground up. You accumulate so many reps from your feet and ankles upward. It's like a rebalancing thing. So funny enough, even the most advanced athlete in the world, if they started the ATG system, I would still want them to do 12 weeks of Zero, because they would get gains they didn't even know were waiting for them by jacking up the muscles around their feet and Achilles and knees, getting flexible. Now go into Dense Strength. Now you're tapping into the base that you've built with Zero. And now on Dense Strength, it's like you're transforming and becoming a different beast. Then boom, now go into Standards. You get to take that insane base you've built, and now you're getting to peek up to see what you're capable of across these 22 different exercises, which are, simply from my experience and estimation, the best exercises to bulletproof your body and to fight gravity. So, for example, instead of just squat or deadlift, we have four main exercises that accomplish those two ranges of motion. So it's just a much more fine-tuned process to find your weak points. So there's really newbie gains waiting for anyone who hasn't done these exercises on the Standards program. So that's exactly what I'm gonna do. I really spent more like 4 to 6 months on the Zero program, because I removed myself from the gym to really make this program. I owned a gym for 6 years. When Corona hit, it made me reevaluate some things. And there was actually a specific defining moment where I was training an athlete on a very high contract. Some pro athletes make upwards of $100 million. And there was a very specific moment where I realized that, number one, I could not afford my own services back when I was a kid and knee pain started ruining my life. So that was a very strange moment for me to realize, well, shit, when I was having knee problems, I couldn't have afforded my own services. And that was the number one reason I went online, is I wanted something that back, you know, 12-year-old me that I was having knee pain actually could have afforded to learn these solutions instead of having to pay thousands of dollars, which is what it costs to work with the best coaches. I spent about $10,000 just to study in person with Charles Poliquin, who was my original mentor, who I think is the greatest genius in training. And I think I was just fortunate enough that I ruined my knees at such a young age that I was still young enough and stubborn enough to think that I would be a basketball player. So I was able to take Charles's genius and actually apply it to my own body, whereas Charles was much older and never pursued getting the athleticism that I have. So I actually pursued that, succeeded, played college and pro basketball, and I have now at 29, I'm light years more athletic than I was even 5 years ago. And I'm still trying to push myself. I think at 35, I think I'll be light years more athletic than I am right now, just from looking at actual gains I still have to make within these ATG programs. So I went over how much money it can cost to get the right mentors. So my goal, why I originally went online, was to make this something that people could afford, that anyone could learn everything I know. And what I specifically did that no one had ever done is I insisted on being able to actually coach people's form videos. And one of my best friends who did online coaching himself said, I would be insane to charge less than $99. So I specifically went half that. That's the simple history behind the $49.50 a month price. It's half what someone said I couldn't go below. So that's what our business was built on. There's no shortcuts around it. I had to work, you know, 120 hour weeks to build this up. And then to get enough people results that they knew the system so well to then be able to join me in coaching these videos. It's labor to coach form videos. And 75% of our members actually send in their form videos after workouts. So moving on, you see the point. I was already starting to do online coaching when Corona hit, and now I'm training this guy who, look, I think he was a good guy. I have no intention of disrespecting anyone, but his goals and why he wanted to make money was not to do good with the money. And so for me, this led, like I said, number one, realizing that I couldn't afford my own services back when knee pain ruined my life. And number two, that if I'm only just trying to be the top trainer in terms of how big of an athlete I train in person, I'm not necessarily sticking to my number one philosophy behind everything I do, which is that spreading positivity and integrity is more important than anything to do with business. So I quit. That was it. I quit that day. I didn't show back up. The truth is I overheard a conversation, and the career goals and the reasoning for having money, someone with that kind of money could do so much good, and that just wasn't the intention with it. And my job is not to go to some pro athlete and try to, you know, act like I am more moral than he is and tell him what he should do with his money. It just made me realize, period, that my purpose and my passion is to teach as many people as I can. That way we're casting a bigger net of people who understand the ATG system, because people who understand the ATG system are then helping others with it, are achieving their goals, and so on. So I realized if I focus everything on that, then I'll be better at my job. And I'd rather be the best I can be at one job than spread myself thin. So the first thing I did, me and my wife packed 5 pairs of clothes, hopped in our Jeep, and we drove across the country to start over, because if you know me, I'm a freaking workaholic and I'm a sucker. And so even though I was saying I was going to go only online, if I would have stayed there and kept my gym, within a few months, I just would have been back training people all day long. It's just my nature. So I'm either going to be training people all day long in the gym or online. So that's what I did. We drove across the country. I didn't go try to get gym equipment, and I specifically lived and created the Knee Ability Zero program. So I actually spent, even though I like people to spend about 12 weeks on Knee Ability Zero, I actually spent, you know, more like 5-6 months on Knee Ability Zero with no weights at all. So now I'm actually going from Knee Ability Zero onto Dense Strength myself. So I'm gonna do the 12 weeks of Dense Strength, see where I can get in that 12 weeks. This is something you come back around to. Maybe I'll get to the 7th or the 8th level. Maybe I'll get to all 12. I don't know how much progress I'll make. So regardless though, I'm simply gonna do 12 weeks of it, see how far, you know, see how strong I can get in those 12 weeks. Then boom, then I'm gonna go on to standards and spend 12 weeks seeing how high I can get my scores. And to be clear, I can do all 22 standards. Once you have a standard, it's based on your goal if you wanna work towards the world class number. The world class number is only based on people that I've trained. So the world class number is based on, okay, I've gotten hundreds, if not thousands, to these various standards, but what happens when you achieve a standard? Well, what if you're a rock climber? Okay, well, what if you're a javelin thrower? What if you're a sprinter? What if you're a hurdler? In different exercises, you're gonna wanna become the best in the world, but no one's the best in the world at everything. No one wins the mile and the 100 meters. Decathletes, you could argue, are the greatest athletes in the world, but by Olympic standards, they're actually horrible at every single event. But the thing is, they do all the events. So you see what I'm saying? You could take a totally balanced approach. It totally depends on what your goals are. Look on a football team and you'll even see so many different body types. So a standard is what I think everyone should be able to do, because even the worst of the worst genetics can achieve all 22 standards. That's what the standards are. Something anyone can achieve, but actually puts you in the upper 1%. So out of 100 people, you know, 99 would not be able to do these 22 standards. So it's pretty cool that you can have any genetics like I had. I wasn't just like an average athlete. I was ridiculed. I was the slowest guy on every team, the lowest vertical, to the point of being made fun of. So if someone like me can do it and get a 40-inch vertical, anyone can achieve these standards. And then that bore out to be true from actually training hundreds, if not thousands, of people in person. So I had these numbers on the board, and for years I was just obsessing over people's numbers on these to see what can anyone safely achieve. So that's what the standards are. It's 22 exercises that anyone can safely achieve. There's male and female numbers. You can calculate all your numbers right on the site with the tap of a button. You just enter your weight in pounds or kilos and it spits it right out for you based on male or female. But you can still go beyond that if you now want to get to world-class levels of performance. I want to be the highest jumping 40-year-old on the planet. I want to be the fastest 40-year-old on the planet, meaning I may have started late, but I'm still trying to go up. And as others are going down, I keep going up. My body never gets hurt. My body's in the upper 1% of bulletproofing, and in some areas, in the upper 1% of the 1%. So it gives me a tremendous opportunity to keep getting more athletic. So for every one of these 22 standards in the article, you can see, and I list my real experience with what kind of people and what athletes and what purpose did I go even farther and how far did I go. So I'm gonna spend 12 weeks then working on these 22 standards based on my goals, pushing towards these world-class numbers and exploring. That's what I'm gonna be doing. I'm gonna be exploring the limits of my body. So hopefully it's getting a little more clear now. Dense Strength is exploring how sick of a foundation you can build to rocket launch yourself into gains once you then try to peak what your body's capable of. Now, after that, I actually already know what I'm gonna try to do after that. My thinking is that after someone gets, you know, on average, 12 weeks of zero to just get a foundation, then gets 12 weeks of Dense Strength to really transform, to prepare, you know, for future gains, then 12 weeks of standards driving up peak capabilities. Well, like I was saying, accumulation intensification. So the best thing to do next after standards would be to do something back in the volume accumulation department. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna specifically create a body composition program, meaning a program designed to maximally increase muscle mass while reducing body fat, but in the ATG style. So I mentioned my original mentor, Charles Poliquin. He had a version of this he called German body composition. They are the most sickening, hardest workouts, if properly done, that I've ever done. My idea is to apply the ATG philosophy to that, meaning to apply the bulletproofing philosophy to German body composition. So I'm gonna go from 12 weeks of dense strength right now to 12 weeks of standards to then 12 weeks of ATG style German body composition. The whole idea is like, look at Usain Bolt, look at the body. The body, as Charles would say, looks right, flies right. Meaning, look at LeBron's body. The muscle tissue is all there for him to tap into and do what he wants with. He doesn't have to think about fast twitch or slow twitch or this or that. Just look at the guy. That's the point of 12 weeks of ATG style German body composition. So I'm going to be living these programs. I was able to make Knee Ability Zero really good because I lived it. I was able to make standards really good because I lived it. Now I'm living dense strength, and from dense strength, going to redo 12 weeks of standards to see how far I can push them. And then I'm going to go into 12 weeks of German body composition with an ATG style that I've never seen, something that truly addressed trying to change the muscle growth and reduction of body fat, like, you know, in the fitness style that we think of, like a real body reshaping program. And again, you're going to get those kind of effects from dense strength. You're going to get similar effects from all things. These are slight variations to try to really tap out what you're genetically capable of. So for me, I know, okay, if I just, you know, was able to wave a magic wand and get more muscle here and reduce fat there, I'd be able to set myself up for more potential gains as I go. So from 12 weeks of, that'll be like in the summer at that point. So pretty good timing to do a body composition program. But from 12 weeks of the most sickening, it's really like ATG style bodybuilding is probably the best way to put it. ATG plus bodybuilding equals bulletproofing while maximally, and again, we're talking natural. I've never seen a steroid in my life. It's not my thing, and it's unfortunate that in some sports that it has to be, you know, that it's just rampant. So yeah, you might not see gains like you might see on a fitness cover at the grocery store, but for natural lifting, you're gonna see, I mean, they're gonna be the most sickening workouts, but you're gonna want an insane base. So the better base you get with these ATG movements, you become like a sculptor, able to just tap into different areas because of how you can move and use your body. So let's recap this. 12 weeks, zero, which is just a great reset, a base. 12 weeks, dense strength, lower body transformation. 12 weeks, standards, now tapping into the maximum anti-gravity and bulletproofing. Then 12 weeks ATG style bodybuilding. From there, I'm not 100% sure what I'll do next fall. But I've got, if you look at it there, I've got, you know, I just laid out the next, since I've done 1 week, and these are 12-week programs, my next 35 weeks are accounted for. But I do think that's when I could start getting into some more extreme plyometrics. But let me leave you with this, okay? When it comes to maximizing speed and jumping, like the actual, you know, not the physical training side for speed and jumping, but the actual action of the sprinting and jumping and plyometrics and all this stuff, I think there's two really distinct routes that I think you could take, either route or a mixture of the two. One route is actually just trying to master your sport with the right body to begin with. Cristiano Ronaldo, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, these guys are not products of fancy plyometric programs. They had the right structure to begin with. So then by focusing maximally on their sport, it's very easy to tap in and to be able to achieve these things and hit the speeds that they run and the heights that they jump and these kind of things, right? So you could really argue on either side of the coin that, oh, well, getting more athletic will help that. Yeah, but what about the top dunkers in the world? They actually spend the most time just trying to jump as high as they can. So now when you're jumping as high as you can, trying to hit a header with the soccer ball or having to control the ball in your hands to dunk, maybe that's smarter than doing any plyometrics at all, because now you're getting the skill benefit and the body benefit. On the other hand, some of the freakiest jumpers I've seen are guys who were like track and field athletes who had never touched a basketball, but were freaky athletes to begin with. So now it's so easy for them to now do the things that guys who've been playing their whole life can't do, and dunk from the foul line and all this crazy stuff, right? So I really think you could go either, if we're just trying to get as athletic as possible, I actually think you could go either route of having the most anti-gravity and bulletproof body possible, or get, you know, freakish plyometrics and then go try to master the sport. I really think you could do either or, but let me make it clear. Right now, I would have to say, if you're trying to be a basketball player or a baseball player or a tennis player or a football player or a soccer player, if you're playing a skill sport, my current advice is you don't need any extra plyometrics, just your sport plus ATG training. That's my God honest opinion. That being said, if you're someone who's just pursuing athleticism to pursue athleticism, well, you might be better off using plyometric methods since you don't have like a specific sport that you're trying to channel everything into. Basically, I think that trying to do your sport and add plyometric methods could do more harm than good and could distract you from actually just getting as good as possible at your sport. And again, if you look at the results, go ahead and look at the top dunkers in the world. Maybe some of them do plyometrics, maybe some of them don't. But I've worked with a ton of these guys, and the one thing they do have in common is that they actually just jump with maximum intent consistently year after year after year of the actual thing they're trying to do, which is dunk a basketball. So that's my current advice, and that's why I've laid out my training the way I did. And you'll see me playing with my own training. I'm putting a basketball hoop into my house, you know, just putting out a 10-foot hoop this week so I can start dunking, you know, whatever from Dick's Sporting Goods. And so you're going to see me back dunking, doing different play. Look, I'm just going to have fun with that stuff as I'm exploring it, because again, I really think you could do either or a mixture of the two. And I've been able to pull off a transformation and go from a 19 to a 42-inch vertical. And that's what I did. I tried to master my sport. I also was exploring different plyometric things. I think the thing I was careful to do was not to be overdoing either one at the same time. So I had times of success where I wasn't practicing dunking at all and I was just working on plyometric methods, and then I would find dunking is easier. But I also had times where I was just working on dunking, and that's why right now I'd have to say that if you're trying to be a basketball player, I think the proper dunking sessions themselves are going to be better than any plyometrics, because for me it led to more in-game dunking because I was actually getting repetitions of the motions, the ball control. You see what I mean? So I feel I actually got pretty similar results. Whether you do dunk sessions or plyometrics, I think you can get similar jump results, but the difference between the dunk session is you're actually going to be, and I practice in a way that, yes, you want to jump as high as you can, but once you can do a dunk, then you start working on the actual footwork you're going to use in a game. So you see the difference there is, in basketball, what's the money? The money is not your vertical jump test. The money is your in-game dunks. So you have to be able to jump up and dunk to do that, but you also have to have the skill to do that. So I think you see my point. That's my God honest opinion, is just get the right body and play your sport, no matter what sport that is. But if you don't have a sport, then yeah, I think you can mix in different plyometric methods. And I'm gonna be exploring that a lot this year, but there's no doubt that the ATG system has been my foundation. And I did use a mixture of the two. That's why I'm saying this. But the key, I really think the key, is not to overdo either one. And let me just make that clear one more time, because a lot of people ask me this. Yes, if you play a sport, I really think your best bet is just mastering the ATG system plus mastering your sport itself. I don't think you need any gimmicks outside of that. So there you go. I wanted to close with that, because for a lot of people, they're using the ATG system to try to get athletic. So that is a part of it. And fortunately, it doesn't seem to matter terribly, you know, which you focus on. But if it's specifically for a sport that you're trying to get athletic, that's my current advice. Master your sport, master ATG. That's my forecast for the training. Hopefully this helped you understand why I made the Dense Strength program and exactly how it fits into the overall system. Much love to everyone in ATG fam. It was said that we couldn't do something like this, that we wouldn't get enough support, but you guys made this possible, and it's because of you that we're able to deliver this for an affordable price. If people aren't doing it, it doesn't work. So huge thanks, every single ATG member. Just know you're supporting a movement that's creating the most knee success stories on earth among, you know, many other areas of successful people. We're making different dreams come true, but it's a team effort, and every single member is included in that. So, you know, honestly, I wake up every morning and I'm just shocked and grateful that there's so many like-minded people out there. I didn't know that something like ATG would exist because I didn't know there'd be this many like-minded people. And the same is said for Real Movement, which is a Real Movement is a group of coaches, which similar to ATG, the concept is that it's affordable to become a world-class coach. So I actually certify people in Knee Ability there in terms of coaches, and I do that for free. I don't make a dime, but look at how that comes back to me. I don't charge them a dime to share my knowledge. I actually share my two specialties. I share my knowledge of Knee Ability, and I share my knowledge of how I grew my Instagram account, which I started in May of last year. So like in a year and a half, I've been able to get to 190,000 followers for someone who's not a tech guy and has had no social media people work on it for me in that time. In fact, my account, I had a social media guy because I had no interest in social media. And then when I realized the slimy ways he was using to get followers, I offered him a different job that and said I would run it myself. This was May 27th last year. And he left the meeting, said he would think about it. And that was the last day I saw him. He deleted my account. At the time, I had 25,000 followers. So I had to start over. If you remember from the original days, I was the knees over toes guy. Now I'm just knees over toes guy because the knees over toes guy was deleted. Never saw the guy again. The point is May 27th last year, I had to start over, build my social media myself with no hiring of any social media personnel. The point is I drop everything I did for free in Real Moment, and I drop my Knee Ability certification for free in Real Moment. But look at what Real Moment has done back. So many things, and the latest of which is helping me design Knee Ability Dense Strength. So I could talk all day about this concept, but there's not a scarcity. And if you operate, you know, on trying to keep things a secret and a scarcity, I think you're actually limiting yourself. So that was my philosophy of working with Real Movement. So here I am, a trainer, right? I should be competing against other trainers. Instead, I'm trying to help other trainers the best I can. And it's worked out for me. So hopefully that can be a lesson for you on teamwork and generosity, and that, you know, you can still have integrity in the business world and succeed, if not better, I think. And I think you create a more stable business for yourself when you build it on integrity. I'll be totally honest, podcasts are kind of weird for me. I like talking with people, but I started this podcast after the baby was born. It's a bit simpler for me to schedule, and it allows me to cover these things for people who go on drives or like listening to podcasts and stuff like that. So look, tell me anything you want me to teach on a podcast form, and I will do it. This is the latest one I was asked for, is to explain what dense strength is and why I made it. So there you go. Love you guys. Hope you're having a great day. Let me know what to talk about next.